Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Locked On Spartans. It is Monday, June 29th.
Who cares? It doesn't matter
doesn't
at this
matter.
Point.
No. Does not matter. The year is 2020. I am your host, Will Hunter, joined by my mask-wearing co-host, Matt Sheehan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am, because I want sports to happen this fall! Okay.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Matt, a lot has happened since we last did a show.
Will, I forgot what your voice sounded like, point blank. Will, I've missed you. I'll say it. I missed you, Will.
We recorded last Monday night with Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last time we recorded, because that was two episodes. I did all the ads and stuff, which you obviously didn't need to be there for.
No. Me doing any work? No, please. No.
A lot has changed in the last week.
Yeah, who would have thought at a time with no sports, especially no college sports, as it usually is in June, that things would happen, Will?
Yeah. The main thing is we went from a teetering place with the coronavirus to, dear God, everything's on fire.
I had a good weekend. I had a pretty solid weekend. I don't want to be upset right now. I'm going to try really hard not to get upset and focus on that. Did anything else happen this weekend?
I played golf at Arcadia Bluffs. That was pretty cool.
Ooh, that's right. That was this weekend. How'd it go?
Wonderful place.
Okay, that's a very diplomatic answer.
It's a really hard golf course.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, and we had a lot of wind and rain. It was Friday, so we didn't get the super bad storms that the lower portion of the state got, but it rained for at least half the round, and at a place like that, it's hard enough in normal conditions.
It sounds like you got the true Scotland experience, though, with that, then.
A bit, yeah.
The spin zone I would give it, at least, yeah.
It was very linksy, for sure. A lot of Lynx vibe to it. It was sunny, and then it was raining, and then it was windy, and then it was raining, and then it was sunny.
Oh, that's that's the deluxe experience of big time. That's awesome, man.
No, it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
Well, some Michigan State things happened, some pertinent things to talk about.
Yes, sir. Yep.
The NCAA has extended the recruiting dead period. We're going to talk about that and the impact it's going to have on Michigan State. We're going to talk about Xavier Tillman and kind of an update on where he sits in his professional quest, his NBA decision, the latest on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we're going to have some fun with this all-decade team, because honestly, this time last week, I had no idea it was even happening, Matt.
No, but I'm very glad that it did, because it led to some great debates.
I needed some posts. I got to hit my post count for Spartans Wire.
Of course.
Boy, did that help.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for you.
And I also learned Michigan basketball fans will say anything on the internet. Dear God.
Oh, yeah. That's old hat, though, at this point, for sure. Also, Ohio State had a better decade than I remember them having, too.
Yeah,
Some solid players. We'll get back to it, yeah.
Yeah, Thad Mata won a handful of championships there, like 3 in 5 years or something like that. They had a nice little run. So we're going to talk about that as well. Some spots that we think the panel screwed up, or, you know, different debates. We'll dive into that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for making that list. We're going to roast you to smithereens for it, though. That's what we're here to do.
Yeah, Aaron Kraft is definitely one of the 15 best basketball players in the conference the last 3 decades.
He's top five. Top five. I'll stand. Yep.
we'll get into all of that on today's episode. Reminder to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can find Locked On Spartans wherever you get your podcast. Matt, are you ready?
Yeah, strap me in. Let's go, baby.
Strap you in. Let's go, baby. All right.
You know what? Print that on a mug. That's going to look good. That's going to be great on a nice t-shirt, I think.
So the NCAA, not really a surprise, given that we've had...
Gesture to everything.
Yeah, just gesturing at the world. The coronavirus is... The U.S. has recorded record days, like, for the last handful of days, and... Florida and Texas, I think someone had tweeted at me, it's like the 15% of Division I college football programs are in Florida or Texas.
Problematic. Okay.
And those two states are off the charts in terms of what's going on with their coronavirus numbers right now. So the NCAA has extended the recruiting dead period to no camps, no visits.
Mm-hmm.
And they have extended it to August 31st, which, Matt, is 6 days before the opening kickoff of Michigan State's season.
And still a very long ways away. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, still 2 months away. So for the next 2 months, no recruiting visits at best. And what we're looking at now is Mel Tucker hired after signing day, into a pandemic, had 2 weeks, 3 weeks of visits on campus after getting his staff assembled. COVID shuts it down, has no ability to recruit in his facility, meet kids face-to-face, until at the earliest, the week before the football season starts.
Nothing else is going on that week. That's fine.
It's just not
busy. Wide open itinerary, just wide open calendar. That's fine.
Yeah. It's not good that the time of the year where coaches put the most into face-to-face recruiting has been completely destroyed. It's done. Summer recruiting is officially over.
Yeah, unless you count like the last day of August. Yeah, then you get a solid day.
It's going to be so not totally chaos. Done.
You get 24 hours of it, basically. Man, he can still, like, contact them over, like, phone, right? Mm-hmm. Am I getting that right? Okay, well.
Yeah, same stuff they've been doing. Virtual visits. Well, I don't know the specific rules on how many calls and text messages and whatever, but, you know, sending graphics, which is, you know, Michigan State is
right in our wheelhouse, yeah.
As we've gone over, doing as well as you can in sort of that department in terms of trying to do cool things, but nothing is as impactful as getting a recruit on campus, seeing the facilities, sitting in the coach's office, having a one-on-one, and just that stuff really matters. Going into home visits, that stuff really matters. And he, by all means, that is what Mel Tucker is best at, or by all regards, like that's what you hear, like, he just is really good in the room with kids and parents and convincing them to come to his school. For sure. He hasn't had the ability to do that at all. And he's not going to get the ability before the football season starts. And while that, you know, it's tough because we've talked about this moving goalposts and excuse making. I can't help but just, like, I'm all in on year zero. I was before this, but now I'm super all in on year zero. Like, I don't even know what you could reasonably expect. Like, play hard, beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and, like, maybe get to a bowl game, and then pick it up next year, right? I don't know. Have our standards been lowered too much?
No, I think we're aligned with that, and I think, I mean, I don't want to... Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I think it'd be flat out unreasonable, though, to expect anything like a top 15 recruiting class this year or, 8-4.
In 2 years, they need to be pushing for 9-10 wins again. Like,
sure.
You don't get.
Oh, next cycle, you could expect, not expect, but you can. Yeah, sure. Let's call it expect a top 25, top 20 class for sure. But this year. It's a wash now. I mean, it was bad enough. I think we've talked about this a lot, but like even a month ago we said it. It's only gotten worse recruiting-wise, obviously. Like there's been no bones thrown MSU's way. But again, they're trying to make the most of it. Marketing's never been stronger. The branding's never been stronger. They're having their cool virtual visits. But again, virtual visits don't always work, especially when you're a fresh coach taking over a program that could use some band-aids getting put on it and has an uphill battle now after the last 2, 3, 4 years of MSU football. I'm sorry, it hurts to say, but that's quite simply the truth of where MSU's at right now. This isn't Ohio State where the first 15 seconds you start your Zoom call and the kid's committed. Like, yeah, I can see how it works for schools like that. MSU is one of the many, 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 many schools that don't have the luxury of just getting kids with no virtual visits. But, you know, it has happened, but still, with, like, the 3 stars of the world and everything like that, it's
and not ideal. I still think they land a handful of prospects in this class because there's guys in state, they're like, all right, this is a good class in the state of Michigan. And there's a number of guys that you'll be able to look at and be like, all right, yeah, we got three guys here that we can get. They're not world beater prospects, but, you know, the Jamari Budden, Andrell Anthony, mm-hmm. you know, I think they're probably out on some of the really highly ranked guys, but those two, there's a couple other guys that are, you know, high three-star, four-star types that could end up going to Michigan State, which I think they land a couple of those guys. We'll see. And this is another thing we need to keep bringing up. Who the hell knows what this fall is going to be like with recruiting? I still maintain it's going to be the Wild Wild West.
Right.
And, you know, who knows what's going to even happen? And maybe Mel Tucker can get in there and flip some of the guys who committed to Penn State from the Detroit area or something like that. Like, I think they will be able to land a handful of good high three-star / four-star recruits and get something in the 30s, which is, you know, like a D'Antonio class, like a not great D'Antonio class, which under the circumstances, I'm cool taking that for 1 year. Especially like it, like we said at the beginning, recruiting, summer recruiting didn't happen. It didn't happen this year, right. And it's not happening.
Not quite. No.
No. All right. Let's put a pin in that discussion, and we will talk about the latest with Xavier Tillman and the NBA in just a hot second, Matt.
Let's do it.
But first, a word from Built Bar.
Built Bar. Let's go, baby. Built Bar. Built we're back. Bar. Sports might not be back, but Built Bar.
Built Bar never left, Matt.
Nah, that's true. That's a very good point. Excuse
they
me.
Will never leave you. It's just, they're flat lid. Best tasting protein bar I've ever had, best tasting protein bar Matt's ever had.
Yep.
And
co-signed to that one.
Co-signed to that one. They are just like, they're killing it, Matt. They have these great flavors.
They can't stop.
High protein, low sugar, low calories, a bunch of fiber too, which is really, really helpful. We know that. And they are raising the bar, Matt.
How so, Will?
They are preparing to release the brand new and improved Built Bar.
No, that's impossible. Impossible.
The all
that's just lies.
New
it's lies.
Built Bar.
How can it possibly get better?
How can it possibly? I don't even know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Go to builtbar.com. If you want to learn more, about the new bar, go to builtbar.com. There's a little email area. You can type in your email address and be one of the first to know about the newest Built Bar. And once their product is ready to go and you're ordering it, you can always use promo code LOCKEDON at builtbar.com. $10 off your first order with promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON, for $10 off at builtbar.com. All right, welcome back to Locked On Spartans. Let's talk about Xavier Tillman, Matt.
Let's do it. Near and dear to our hearts, XT, yes. He's the man.
Just
fantastic player.
I saw some numbers. I don't know who it's from. It was someone who's like, oh, we're waiting to do our Michigan State preview because of Xavier Tillman. And like,
makes sense.
His on-off numbers were like, they were staggering. Like the Michigan State with Xavier Tillman is great. Michigan State without Xavier Tillman, bad.
Yeah, leave some to be desired, yeah. Hey, shocker, there's not a lot of XT-level talent behind XT on this team. A lot of solid guys, but solid. Solid is where we'll stop.
Yeah, right? So Tillman has been reported as 50-50. He told that to some TV people. It's pretty much that's kind of everything you've heard regarding Tillman is he's kind of 50-50. He's really weighing the decision, which is surprising to me because I figured he would be gone depending on sort of this, Matt, this next thing, which sources have told ESPN Plus NBA writer Jonathan Givnoy that, and this was in part of their little sleeper prospects breakout whatever thing on ESPN Plus, that sources have indicated to them that Tillman might return to Michigan State if he isn't guaranteed a 2-year contract.
I spent the whole weekend deciding whether I should be excited about that news or not, and I have netted out right down the middle. I don't know what to think about this. So I'm going to need you to hold my hand and walk me through how I should think. Because right okay. now, I kind of want to get excited yep. right now.
So first-round picks get guaranteed deals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if Tillman is told over and over and over and over and over again, there's no way you're a second-round pick. You're in the first round. You're in the first round. We're not letting you get out of the first round. You're in the first round. If that is the feedback he gets, he will be a first-round pick and get a guaranteed contract. Okay?
Easy does it. Yep.
All right. So more, it's been happening more often. The second round kind of used to be a wasteland, and it yes. was because rosters just didn't have room in the NBA, and the development system just wasn't there yet in terms of the G League. And mm-hmm. they have really poured resources into the G League to make it better, like we've seen with that new Select team. There's been things like that. More money, better training, better facilities for the G League to make it a legitimate minor league system.
Mm-hmm.
And so now teams are, in turn, investing in second-round players more, and that includes finances. You know, second round picks used to be like you'd throw in six of them to sweeten up a trade, and they'd be like, eh, like
all like 10 years in the future, too.
Yeah. Right. But now they're starting to see some value in it because guys are second round picks going to the G League for a couple years, two way deal, get some NBA experience, and like, okay, I've just taken a second round pick. Turned him into a rotation guy, which used to be like, yeah, if you pick 22nd in the draft, you hope to get a rotation guy. So it's sort of changing the dynamic of it. And so the finances have caught up with that. And a lot of guys, this is according to Rob Dowster, 90% of players in the 6 years leading up to, from 2013 to 2018. So those 6 years, 90% of players from picks 31 to 45 were given guaranteed contracts. So 31 is obviously the first pick of the second round, 45 is halfway through there, and that's kind of where we've seen Tillman mocked a lot. And that DK, our buddy DK at Wanderer Spartan, compiled that information in one handy tweet, so I didn't have to search around. So thanks for that, DK.
Yeah, shout out. Yeah.
So a lot of guys in that range, and I think Tillman would fall into this. It's becoming more and more common that if you're taken in the top 45, you'll get 2 years guaranteed, as opposed to it's collectively bargained. The top 30 guys get it, but it's starting to become more of a thing that the top half of the second round, almost everyone's getting it. And there's even some back end of the second round guys that are starting to get guaranteed contracts, Matt.
Yeah, and you throw in the timing, too, of the later draft, which, I mean, butts up essentially to the start of the college semester year.
It's, yeah.
If you're a slappy Homer fan like me, I take this news reluctantly as a positive. As a positive? Am I in the right line of thinking here? Like, I don't know. It's weird. You're going to get some bizarre feedback. You're not working out with these teams. They're going off film and only film. You are who you are. There's not a lot of room to improve when you're, well, not working out for these teams.
Mm-hmm.
So can teams guarantee first round? They probably can. I mean, God, who are we kidding? Teams lie all the time. How many times have you heard like, oh, yeah, no, we're definitely going to get you at X. And like, sure enough, like they're never even drafted by anyone. That happens in any sport. So, yeah, could he get guaranteed? I think he will. But I've always thought he would. That's the thing. It's just the fact that there's now like a glimmer of hope, which I did not expect to have a month or two ago when this all happened.
The other glimmer is you worry for the NBA teams, you worry about finances at a time like this. And mm-hmm. so are more teams, they have to give out their guaranteed first round deals. Are they going to be more or less willing? Are they going to be less willing, really, to give out guaranteed money to a second round pick? That right. is something that you could maybe see this year, next couple of years, less guaranteed money to these second rounders. But then, you know, they still want to make these investments, and it's not something massive. Like, it's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of NBA money. So here, I just pulled up Iggy Brazdeikis because I remember him going around that spot. He went 47th overall in the draft last year, so second half of the second round. Barely, but second half of the second round.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He signed 2 years, $2.4 million fully guaranteed with the Knicks.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of what's going on. And then he's got a qualifying offer, a team option for $1.78 million in his third year. And then a qualifying offer of over $2 million his fourth year. So basically, if he ends up playing well, like he'll get that, and then he'll be able to get signed to a bigger contract after that. And that's kind of how it works for second-round picks now. So I would – something like that. Tillman could get $2.5 to $3 million guaranteed over 2 years if he's picked 37th or something along those lines. And I think that would be enough to keep him in the draft.
Yeah, and also one more thing I don't want to like overlook here is could teams be apprehensive about taking a senior in next year's draft? Like we know that all sports really are obsessed with age and development and ceiling and everything like that. Like right now, so I'm staring at NBADraft.net right now. It doesn't have Tillman in either round, so like already I'm a little skeptical about this information.
NBADraft.net is wrong.
Well, the point I'm trying to make here, though, is everyone in their first round, there's not a single player that is a junior or higher. Like, teams like youth, they like the young players, and I'm sure Tillman knows that, too. Like, hey, I'm not going to get any younger next year. Could I improve? Sure, I could, but also, teams are kind of, I don't know, I feel like teams are getting further and further away from seniors and whatnot. Established players, if you will, Will.
They definitely are. There's I don't know if it's like ageism or whatever. NBADraft.net has Vernon Carey 18th, so I don't want to hear from
correct. But the point is
why
that
would
like
you even bring them up. James Wiseman is sixth in their thing. Like he's going top three. Come on, this is just nonsense.
The point being though that age is still probably a bigger factor than we lead on, I guess. Of all the things to put up there on the table of reasons why he would come back and why he wouldn't, I think age is kind of like your sneaky dark horse reason as to why he could be throwing up the deuces and saying goodbye, I'm taking my family to the NBA. Like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
They also have Xavier Tillman listed as a sophomore, just so you want to keep going down this NBADraft.net thing.
See, I clicked the wrong website for this. I could have clicked any other thing, and my point was still stood. But here we are.
But I mean, if anyone isn't following it, Tillman and Winston both, but obviously Winston doesn't have a decision. Tillman has been anywhere from like 22 to 45, I would say, are kind of his extended ranges, with most of it being like 28 to 36, like 28 to 38, kind of early second round. Seems to be his spot. Some people really like him too, and some teams are kind of out on him. I've read he's kind of a polarizing prospect a little bit because teams worry about there's no upside, but mm-hmm. a lot of teams have looked at him like, this is a pro, he's going to be a pro, we're just going to take him and he'll be a pro. Like, yeah. We don't need to be looking for an all-star in the second round or the back end of the first round, we're just going to take a pro who can defend at a high level. So, yeah, I still think he's going to get enough positive feedback that he's going to feel comfortable staying, like he's going to get guaranteed money, which I know isn't great to hear. Nobody wants to hear that, but that's how I still see it. Until I see something where he's like, he's leaning Michigan State, I'm not going to feel like he's going to be back.
Fine.
Whatever, Matt. All right, let's pause here. We'll come back and talk about this Big Ten Basketball Players of the Decade, which is fun. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Matt, they got everything. They have engine control modules. Do you know what those are?
Yeah, totally. No. Totally. No.
They got brake parts. Do you know how to change brakes?
Probably I know not. What. No. Heavens, no. Jesus. You take me for it.
What about tail lamps? Can you replace like a headlight?
I have done that once.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go.
Yes. I am the most macho man in the world. That's right, baby.
They got motor oil. They got carpet for your car. They got everything. It's mm-hmm. classic car, daily driver. You can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? You wouldn't do it, Matt. Doesn't make any sense.
No, heavens no.
It's dumb. So don't do it. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Okay, so what was the most egregious thing in all of the Big Ten decade stuff? So the Big Ten Network did an all-decade teams thing all last week. And they're doing football this week, and we'll talk about it. But they did basketball last week. They did third team, second team, first team, coach of the decade, player of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
What was the most egregious thing on all of those?
It's the leading assist haver of all time in Big Ten history being on the second team in Cassius Winston. But could I rattle off the teams really quick for those that didn't see it?
Yeah, sure.
Third team was, of course, Aaron Kraft. You got to have Aaron Kraft, top 15 player for sure. So third team, Aaron Kraft, Caleb Swanigan, former Spartan, by the way, D'Angelo Russell, Juwan Johnson, Jordan Murphy, Yogi Ferrell. That's your third team. Second team?
Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Second team, Cassius Winston, Victor Oladipo, Carson Edwards, Ethan Happ, Jared Solinger, who I literally forgot played this decade. First team.
But go ahead.
Evan Turner, Denzel Valentine, Draymond Green, Trey Burke, Frank Kaminsky round out your first team.
Okay. Izzo, coach of the decade, player of the decade, Frank Kaminsky. Let's start here. Okay. Izzo, obviously, good choice, the right choice. Beats everyone statistically.
Mm-hmm. Best choice, first choice, only choice. Yes.
Yep. Of course. I think Frank Kaminsky, I'm good with that too.
I'm fine with it. Yeah. It is what it is.
Frank put up a lot of points and was on a lot of really great teams and won a bunch of awards. So yeah, I'm fine with that. It's a good spot. Like you could have picked, like if Trey Burke played 4 years and did what he did over 4 years, like you could go that route.
Denzel, I would have like more than happy with. I mean, even like. Honestly, if I had a vote, I call it recency bias or whatever, but I think it would have gone Cassius. Is that insane? I feel like he's definitely squarely in the top three of players of the decade in the Big Ten, but here he was, not even on the first team, which makes that a problem.
It's tough because he didn't get any National Player of the Year things, which is stupid.
And all five of the people on top have Player of the Year
things,
which is where we have our issues.
Yeah, which is tough, but it's not Cassius Winston's fault. He had to play with Zion Williamson. Right. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. And this is not a discerning group. They just, it feels like a lot of them just kind of looked at the awards and counted, which is fine. Like, whatever. It's an all-decade team. But
the argument you could have for hours is, okay, like, yeah, me and a lot of people want Cassius on the first team, but who do you knock off the first team? And a lot of people in the mentions were saying Valentine. It was a Spartan-on-Spartan crime going on in the mentions. Like, you got to get Valentine out of there. Like, he lost Middle Tennessee. It's like, I know that game sucked.
He also went to the Final Four.
Of course. Like, we can't act like that one game, like, dismantles his whole entire legacy. The guy was a cheat code senior year, except for, like, one game where a guy on the other team shot 100% from three. Anyway, we're not going to rehash that game any longer.
Here's who you take off.
Okay.
You take off Evan Turner.
See, I get that because he only played, what, 20-ish games this decade?
Yes.
His senior year was 09 to 2010. But, like, man, the guy was averaging 29-6
his senior year. Great. His decade was the last decade.
That's know, his decade. But that doesn't drive social media engagement numbers and impressions to Big Ten Network's Twitter account a decade ago. No, but I get what you're saying. I do. Especially, like, when you look at... There are a good amount of snubs. And, like, I'm not even going to name, like, any Spartans that are snubs.
There's a pretty bad one.
Who's the worst snub?
Luka Garza.
And why... No, why is it John Scherna from Northwestern? Why why did my boy, 16th overall score in the Big Ten, John Scherna, averaged more than 16 points a game his sophomore, junior, senior, get left off. Anyway, but yeah, Luka, that's a tough look. That's a tough look to leave him off. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was also kind of a tough call, honestly, and I kind of have like a blank eating grin. no Nick Stauskas and no Mo Wagner, which I'm not going to complain about, but I'm still a little surprised about it.
Yeah, Sauce Castillo needed to be on one of these.
Like, Sauce Castillo, I forgot about that one.
Anyone in their right mind who would take Aaron Kraft over Sauce Castillo doesn't know anything about, like, they've never watched basketball. Like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Kraft had rosy red cheeks and loved to hack people, and nobody called him for fouls. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But mm-hmm. Nick Stauskas was an absolute murderer. I was terrified of him.
Oh, of course. He was so good.
And, I mean, Wagner was too. And what, Mo only played 2 years, though, right?
Or was he only good for two years? Yeah, I think that could be the case. Yeah.
He had like, oh, this guy's pretty good. And then, oh, he's really good for a year. Like, I feel like Stauskas was like a, just a merc for two full seasons. Like, oh, this dude's sick. Great.
That's fair. Yeah.
And when he left, it was like, yay, he's gone.
Who was the other baller for Ohio State? Was it Deshaun Thompson? Was that his name? He played in the 2011-2012 kind of era, too. Like, he felt that same way. Like, obviously different positions, different build, and yada, yada, yada. But, like, man, he felt dangerous with the rock whenever he had it, for sure.
And yeah, it is Deshaun Thompson. You're right.
It is. Okay. They do. And but here's the other thing. Like, you have six people on your third team. Like, why not just, like, do seven or eight at that point? Yeah. And we all know who the sixth person on the third team is. It's Aaron Kraft. Like, I'm sorry, Aaron Kraft, but he's the guy that everyone's been like, oh, well, you can replace him with, I don't know, LeVar Stevens, Etuan Moore. John Sherman, I kind of joke about it, but he kind of really was a snub, though. I think overall they did a good job. I really do think overall that they did a good job. Football, let's just talk about it right now. That's going to be a bloodbath, and you want people to get mad
basketball.
Online.
I'm not done with
I know, but like I'm just saying, like, this is a tough team to build. And I think they did a pretty decent job. Yeah, the Evan Turner thing was kind of suspect, but
it's tough. Man, like, his decade
he
was last decade.
He balled out so hard. I know, but it's technically he did play this decade, so I don't want to like white knight for the committee here and kind of defend him, but I guess that's what I'm doing anyway. I don't hate the Evan Turner thing.
Carson Edwards should not be second team. Victor Oladipo should be first team, too.
Oladipo was sick, yeah. He was incredible. Well, and Zeller, too. I mean, shoot. I mean, you talk about Oladipo. Tyler, like, it was an Oladipo and Zeller show, man. Whatever, Zeller.
Cody or Tyler, it doesn't matter.
Honest to God, no clue who it was.
I think, Juwan Johnson only played, like, 9 games in this decade, mm-hmm. too.
Correct. Right.
Because he's an old one. Did D'Angelo only play 1 year?
I think he was one and done. Yes, he I believe nasty. So. I shouldn't know, like, that at the top of my head.
Swanigan shouldn't be third team. Well, I guess he was really good.
Maybe. There's a lot of guys on here that had one really great year, but then you think about like a lot of other guys that had one really great year and this didn't pan out, like the Wagners or the Garzas.
Like,
or, I mean, God, there's some Spartans that could say that too.
Yeah, I mean, like Adrian Payne, if you look at his totality compared to someone like Swanigan.
Goran Suton, if you will.
I don't know. I mean, like, Miles Bridges' 2 years are better than Swanigan's 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So it's a lot of gray area, but hey, I mean, overall, what grade would you give the 24-member panel that built this? What grade would you give them?
Like a B-.
Okay, I was going to give him a solid B. Solid B. All my grades I had in high school and college. Solid B.
It's inexcusable that Luka Garza is not on the team.
Yeah, but you know what? Iowa fans are such you-know-whats that I don't care. That's fine. Keep him off.
There's 10 Big Ten players of the year in the last decade. He's one of them. he should be on the team.
Be better. Don't get put in a straitjacket by Tillman in the most important game of your season.
He went 24-10.
Yeah, that was a Tillman off the court. To bring this episode full circle, to go back to Tillman's on the court, off the court stats, he got put in a straitjacket with him on the court.
Aaron Kraft averaged 10 points one time, and he's on the team.
Ooh, I just saw a name pop up. Melo Trimble.
Melo Trimble
getting snubbed off this list is tough. tough. Yeah. That's tough. He was there for 3 years, 16.2, 14.8, 16.8 in his 3 years there. Oh, man, he did great things at Maryland. Yeah, that's another tough. That's not a single Maryland player on this thing, which is a shock.
Yeah, that's why, like, Aaron Kraft can't be on it, because, like, I get it. Everyone loved him, and mm-hmm. he was a scrap. He's white. He's white?
Oh, wow. Yeah, white. Talk about it. Okay. Sure.
He's white, and he was small, and he worked hard. Mm-hmm. He was like, it was like a novelty thing. Like, look at him. Look at that guy. Look at him. We love him.
He's Brad Davidson, but like with better branding, a better marketing team around him is what he was.
He just works so hard. He is everything that's right with sports. And that's fine. Like, Aaron Kraft crafted out, look at that wordplay.
That was big
a
time.
A better advice. Career than his athleticism and skills dictated. And a million kudos to him for that. Mm-hmm. Like, he got everything out of himself he could on the basketball court in his career, and that rules. That's great for him. He is not better than, like, not just 15 or whatever. Like, he's not in the top 40 of the decade. Like,
wow, okay.
He wasn't that good. Like, he was a pain to play against. He wasn't that good.
Career average, 8.9 points, 4.7 assists, 2.3 steals. That's solid. Shooting numbers are not great. So, yeah, if you're going to have him, who was the Robin to Solinger's Batman, just put Sam Decker on the team then for being the Robin to Frank Kaminsky's Batman.
Yes, Sam Decker was so much better than Aaron Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Stauskas.
But I still want to put Sam Decker, like, on the top four or five teams, I guess, now that I think about it.
There's a lot of really good players that had a year or two where, like, they're really good. And Aaron Kraft was there for 4 years and was pretty good at defense for a couple years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then bad at offense, and it's annoying. Like, he had a really nice career. Like, can't we just, like, leave it at that? We don't have to keep piling on awards. I don't know why I'm so mad at Aaron Kraft being on there. There's so many good players that got left off, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm not even that mad about it. I don't know why I spent this much time on it. It's just stupid.
I love that with Cassius on the second team, only three Spartans on this. And really, we should be lucky because not every team was represented. The thing that we're most upset about is Aaron Kraft getting, like, the sympathy nod for the sixth man on the third team here. That's what you get. I feel bad for Penn State, though. Like, they had some ballers. Like, even Taylor Battle. Like, it goes back to, like, he had some solid seasons. Like, I think he left in 11, so he would have had a season and a half this decade. Like, that sucks that he's completely left off. Yeah. I mean, shoot. Tim Frazier balled out for a hot second, if I could name some Nittany Lions at the top of my head right now.
And that's it.
Yep, hard stop there, but yeah.
Like, yeah, like, even Lamar Stevens isn't going to make it over Aaron Kraft. Like,
that's shocking. I believe he's a top 10 scorer in the Big Ten of all time. Yeah, he's number eight of all time.
All time. Not in the top 15 of the decade, but
no.
8.9 points per game Aaron Kraft is. And I get it, there's two sides of the court. Wasn't that good at defense?
Yeah. Yeah. But he took that charge that one time.
Oh, he was scrappy, and boy, did he just have the rosiest cheeks.
I'm glad Oladipo made second team, though. I'm glad his legacy isn't forgotten.
I'm mad he's not first team. Vic Oladipo is one of, like, the, like, I know it was only 1 year, but dear God. Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite plays of all time was actually a missed dunk. It was, and I remember where I was for this. I was at a restaurant in Holland, Michigan, and it was the alley-oop against Michigan where he grabbed it, where you would put a postage stamp on an envelope and almost yammed it so hard through the hoop it would have ended college basketball. I screamed at this family dinner at the restaurant. And the ball ricocheted, careened so far, so hard off the rim that the ball's still in air to this day. Like, that would have been the greatest dunk of all time. The greatest dunk of all time if that went through.
Yeah, like, that dude was like, oh, what is this? Because he really came out of nowhere, and it's like, oh my God, this guy's incredible. And just, like, you knew, like, yeah, that dude's going to be good for a long time.
He redefined what a high motor was. Like, I thought I knew what a motor was, and then I saw Victor Oladipo play for Indiana. I was like, oh, this guy has unlimited lung capacity. This is crazy. This guy is sensational.
He's Aaron Kraft with ability.
Yeah, and a few more inches, I would suppose. And, marginally better jump shot,
The ability is the word I said there.
I guess ability. Oh, no Robbie Hummel either. How do you play for 7 years of the decade and not get put on the all-decade team? That's absolutely criminal.
That's tough.
Poor Robbie.
I hope his knees are okay, genuinely.
No, knees, back, so like all the above. Well, he plays 3-on-3 basketball for Team USA in a twist of fate. He does. He's on the Team USA 3-on-3 team, so he has an able body, which might as well be the upset of the decade.
That's awesome.
It is. It's very surprising, too.
I want to apologize to Aaron Kraft for all the mean things I said. It's not his fault.
I don't think he's an avid listener of this podcast. I could be wrong. We'll see.
I know. Okay. I'm glad Yogi Ferrell got on there, too. That dude was a freaking pest.
Of course, yeah.
He's a good player. Mm-hmm. Overall, I think they did a good job, though.
Who's the top Spartan that got left off, then? If we could just end it on an MSU note here. Is it Bridges? Is it that easy for Bridges?
It's probably Bridges.
Is it perhaps Kalen Lucas, even though that's a little bit desired, but 2010 was still pretty cool until he got injured? I think that's really where it all falls apart.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. But I would think Miles, you know.
Yeah, no.
I mean, if we're doing, like, one and done, like, what an incredible year. Jaren Jackson, too. Like,
yeah, 15 blocks a game will help. Yeah, definitely.
Like, if we're doing Aaron Kraft gets on there for defense. Like, all right, well, I guess one of the most impactful single-season defensive seasons ever. We're just, you know, which is fine. I'm fine with them not being on there. He only played 1 year, but, like, whatever.
You know what? Speaking of defense, the biggest snub off this list, Brandon Dawson not being included. All right, that's all I got to say. Stay my case. I'm going to lay that to bed right now. My boy, Brandon Dawson.
That's tough. Yeah, football is going to be a mess because they're going to have a lot of people picking people they like things they just don't know. Like, basketball is easier. It's only 5 people on a team.
Yeah.
Like, you're really going to do, like, we're going to pick 3 centers.
Yeah. No, that's tough. And especially
3 left guards.
If only we rooted for a team that won, like, 3 Big Ten titles from last decade, too. I don't know if we're going to see a lot of MSU representation because there's no way they won 3 Big Ten titles over the last 10 years. No, I cannot wait to get mad online this week when they start dropping that stuff.
Who gets more people, Michigan or Michigan State?
Michigan State. Flock me for Michigan State. And I know I'm wrong. Give me Michigan State still.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We went super long. We could have done the entire show on the Big Ten team.
Nah, happens.
We should have.
Yeah.
We should have. The trailer for the Big Ten football all-decade team I'm seeing now on BTN.com. Out tomorrow, or out today, Matt.
Spicy.
Out today.
Nice.
Yes. So we'll be back tomorrow. Another episode of Locked On Spartans. We'll see if we might have any recruiting updates. Perhaps, maybe, something interesting. No, I don't know. What do you think we should talk about tomorrow?
Shoot, we might as well just do like the all Big Ten football team at this point.
Here's what I'll do. I'll make the case for Connor Cook. I don't think it's the right case, but I'll make the case for Connor Cook, Big Ten player of the decade tomorrow.
Me the gif of the Archie Griffin trophy handoff, and that's, I need to see. That's all I need to see.
Yes, that's all we need. All right. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Reminder to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. You can find us wherever you get your podcast. Wear a mask. Matt, take us home.
Wear a